1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we've heard your word. And now we pray, Lord, that you would direct our meditations and that you would direct my words, that we would see your glory and give you the glory, because you have given us a great salvation through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we pray that you would teach us, that you would equip your people, and that we would grow up, each one of us, into the full stature of Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Sermon title this morning is The Ultimate Birth Announcement. The Ultimate Birth Announcement. And here in Luke chapter 1, we have the story of the most amazing birth announcement ever. Something that had not happened from the beginning of time, where a special child would be born that would be 100% God and 100% man. It had never happened before. But this was something that God promised right after the fall, the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And we read about that in Genesis, way back in Genesis chapter 3, where God is speaking to the one that tempted Adam and Eve. He says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise, or he shall crush you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And so the promise is made. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. And yet at the same time, he would have a wound on his heel. And we see that in the cross where Jesus, when he was crucified, he was pierced through his hands and through his feet and in his side as well. But that promise was made way back in Genesis chapter 3. Something that was promised, that there would be a rescuer, a savior, the seed of the woman would come. Now the setting of this birth announcement is in the sixth month, it says. The sixth month. The sixth month of what? Well, the sixth month of the pregnancy of the one who was called barren. And that's God's way, isn't it? To surprise us, to think that it's impossible, but then God goes and does something to amaze us. So the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, and then in a place that maybe before this nobody had ever heard of, Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? That was the saying. Now, Nazareth comes from the Hebrew word netzer, which means branch. And so to put it in today's language, it would be like Branchburg. Can anything good come from Branchburg? And that I think helps make it live for us here in Central Jersey, Branchburg. And Jesus was like from a branch town. That's what Nazareth was like. It was way up in Galilee, and yet the promised Redeemer, the promised Savior, came from Nazareth. Now, who announced this birth? None other than the angel Gabriel. Now, Gabriel, if you've studied, you know that Gabriel appears actually in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. And Daniel, chapter 9, Gabriel talks about the coming of the Messiah and predicts the actual time of his coming. And that's in Daniel chapter 9. So Gabriel is one of those angels that has important, sent him on important assignments that have to do with the coming of the Redeemer. And so that should get our attention. Oh, Gabriel, Redeemer, Savior, Messiah. And I think that's exactly what Luke is drawing attention to. And so Gabriel comes to Mary with this greeting, rejoice, highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. Now, we need to recognize that this is a unique blessing because no other woman had the blessing of being the mother of the Savior, mother of the Messiah. Can you imagine having that assignment, mothers? That would be tough. But the Lord gives grace according to the need. Now, Mary was unique in that blessing, but in a sense, Mary is a type for every born-again believer. Because is not every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ favored? Are you not favored if you are in Christ? You have favor of life. You have favor of salvation. You have favor of God being with you. You are blessed among men and women if you are in Christ and if Christ is in you. Amen. And so rejoice. Rejoice, beloved. Beloved, we must rejoice, and we must rejoice in God's covenant blessings. That's what we're talking about when we talk about grace. When we talk about the Lord being with us, the Lord is with you. Aren't we talking about the covenant? I am with you. I will be your God. You will be my people. And that we are blessed is all because of God's covenant. It's not like we earn the blessing. God gives it to us as a gift. And he says, I will be your God. You will be my people. And he says, because you can't save yourself, I'm going to send a Savior. Because you can't redeem yourself, because you can't buy yourself out of your sin situation, I'm going to buy you out. I'm going to pay your penalty. It's like, you deserve to go to prison forever and ever, and that prison is called hell. But Jesus says, listen, I'm going to pay it for you, and I pay it for you on the cross. Amen? And that's what Jesus coming into the world is all about. There had to be a sinless man born to do this. And then he had to die because the wages of sin is death. But then he had to be God so that he could rise again from the dead. And so salvation requires one mediator, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is that covenant mediator, and we must rejoice in God's covenant blessing. Amen? But we also must believe God's covenant promises. God promised a Savior, and that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is always faithful to his covenant promises. Amen? Amen. What was promised? Well, what was promised was a Savior. And we see God actually fulfilling these long-standing promises. And we see that in verse 31, where the angel is reassuring Mary, don't be afraid. I think there may have been some fear just because of seeing an angel. You know, they are awesome. They stand before God. And if we were to see an angel, we probably would fall down and be afraid. And usually the first thing that an angel says when a human being sees an angel is what? Do not be afraid. So it must be an awesome sight. But after that, the angel begins making promises. Promises regarding a particular person. He makes promises regarding the person of Jesus Christ, and then he makes promises regarding the work of Jesus Christ. Let's look at those person promises. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Who is this son? And that's actually probably the most important question you will ever ask in your life. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? And here we have some answers. He is Jesus. Even in his name, there's an answer. Jesus means the Lord Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. That's the name that was given to Jesus. In Matthew 1:21, it says, the angel is talking to Joseph there, says, you will name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And beloved, I'm here to tell you that the most important thing in our lives that we need to be saved from is our sins. Friends, do you know you, all of you, need to be saved from your sins? Do you know that? Not from somebody else's sins, but from your sins. Because the enemy will use your sins to destroy you. And so, what do you need? You need a Savior. Amen? And that's the only way you can be saved from your sins. And so we see that in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us, Lord, from evil. Deliver us, save us from the evil one. Or we see it in the tax collector's prayer. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Amen? Yeah. And we need to believe God's promise that he has sent a person to save us. A son. What kind of son? Well, we read about that son in Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What kind of child? What kind of son? Well, the government will rest upon his shoulders. He will rule. He will reign. And he is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. That's who this child is. If he's everlasting, that means he's eternal. If he's mighty God, not a lesser God, he is mighty God. We need to tell our Jehovah's Witness friends and our Muslim friends, Jesus is mighty God. That's what the word says. Amen? It says that in verse 32 that he will be great. He will be great. And that's picking up on a prophecy in Micah, which says in Micah 5:4, he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And because he's great to the ends of the earth, people are coming to believe him to the ends of the earth. And so he is gathering to himself a people from every tribe, every nation, and every tongue. Amen? And we see that here. We're like the United Nations here, the true United Nations, united in Christ. Amen? So what work will he do? In verse 33, it says, he will reign on the throne of David, fulfilling the promise to David that there would always be a son to reign on his throne forever. That never happened during the time of Israel and the northern kingdom, southern kingdom. Eventually that kingdom came to an end. But when Jesus became King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that prophecy and that promise was fulfilled. And it says here that he will reign forever. Verse 32, it says, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And so we need to ask, how can a mere man reign forever? That man would have to somehow be eternal. Well, maybe if he is man and God at the same time, that can be fulfilled. And that's exactly what is being communicated by that verse. He's eternal, and he reigns eternally. Amen? We also must believe. We must believe in the promises, but we also need to believe that God is able, that God can do the impossible. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God is able? And that's what it says in verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Or more literally, not any word will be impossible with God. If God says it, count on it, it's going to happen. Amen? And that's what the covenant is all about. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will make it so that you can follow me, obey me, and love me. I will put my spirit with you and in you. Amen? Amen. Now, how am I able to believe? How does this begin? How does this happen? In John 1:12, Jesus says, but to as many as believed him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God. And so the question is, have you believed in Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior? Have you trusted in what he already did? We're talking about his birth, but his birth has no meaning if you don't until you think about what he did. Eventually, he went to the cross to pour out his blood to wash away your sin and mine. He went to the cross so that he would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If he didn't do that, and if we didn't need that, if it wasn't absolutely necessary, then Paul says in Galatians, then Christ died needlessly. And we know that that's not true. So there was no other way. No other way for sinners to be made righteous before a thrice holy God. God is holy, holy, holy. And the only way we can be made righteous before him is if we're covered by the blood of a perfect, sinless lamb. And Jesus is that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he says, to as many as believed him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And so the question this morning is, have you believed him? Have you become his son or his daughter by faith? Again, We receive the promise by faith. Believe that God can do the impossible. Believe that He can take a sinner and transform that sinner into a saint. Hallelujah, indeed. Because if it wasn't true, then we would be of most men to be pitied. But it is true. God is doing this. And He will keep doing it until He returns. And so I urge you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your house. And just like these amazing things happened to Mary, they actually happened to the believer. What do I mean? Well, I said earlier that, in a sense, Mary is a type for the believer. She is a pattern for the work of the Spirit in the believer. And by the way, if you want to trace out the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer, the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, read the Gospel according to Luke, read the Acts of the Apostles, and you will be able to trace out the mighty working of God's Spirit. This is how God transforms sinners into saints. This is how God transforms a ragtag, motley crew of people like ourselves into saints and into a church. Amen? Amen? But we need to read the Word, and we need the mighty work of God's Holy Spirit on us. Amen? Amen. So in verse 30, verse 35, the angel answers the question, how can this be, since I am a virgin, since I know no man? In other words, the only way this can happen is by miracle. Beloved, we need a miracle to make us Christians and to make us Christ-like. And that's what we're praying for. And how does this happen? Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So if you start to see yourself changing and becoming more like Jesus and less like Adam, the rebel, the sinner, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. The Holy Spirit, the power of the highest, will overshadow you. The Holy One who is to be born in you shall be called Son of God. Remember, Paul was laboring again regarding the Galatians. For what? So that Christ would be formed in them. And that's what we need. We need Christ formed in us. We need Him to be received into us. We need to receive His Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so as we believe the gospel, Christ, His life, His power, His Spirit, all of that is formed in us. And so we have a power, the power of God, to say no to sin and to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Yes and amen to all the promises of God. Amen. Now, Mary was only following in the footsteps of Sarah. Remember Sarah in Genesis? She was barren, and in the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11:11, it says this, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age. From a human perspective, it was impossible for Sarah to have a child. She was 90 years old. But she believed the promise, it says. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you judge God faithful? The God who's promised a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, what do we do with these promises? Well, we pray them. We pray them back to God. Beloved, pray according to God's covenant promises. Submit your life, submit your will to the Word of God. What did Mary say in verse 38? I am the Lord's maidservant, or I am the Lord's bondslave. Is that the way you look at yourself? Well, we need to. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He will exalt us at the proper time. Humble yourself, submit to God, draw near to God, and He promises to draw near to you. I am the Lord's bondslave. I didn't make myself. I don't sustain myself. God sustains each and every one of us, and even this whole universe, with a word of His power. And I didn't redeem myself. So I'm the Lord's bondslave. And then she prays, be it done to me according to your word. We need to pray according to God's will, according to God's word. And I encourage people, when they come to the prayer meeting, pray with an open Bible. Because then you know that you're praying in a way that's pleasing to God, according to His word. And so we have the privilege to call on God. God, You promised in Your covenant. Accomplish Your covenant promises. And so we call on God to do that. Now, today, we're entering into the season of Advent. And I wrote something about that. You have that in your bulletins. And one of the things that we're doing, we're getting ready to have a lessons and carols service that will happen the 23rd. In the evening, but we want to begin preparing for that, and so what we're going to do on Wednesday nights, this Wednesday, 7 p.m., anyone who wants to come can come, and we will pray together, we will sing together, we'll begin working on some of those carols, and we'll have also a short devotional in the Word. And so the hope and prayer is that it'll be an encouraging time for any who come out, and we'll begin practicing some of these wonderful hymns and carols that speak of our Redeemer coming into the world. Some of the best hymns and carols were written to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Savior of the world. So we'll be able to share those together. If you're able, please come out Wednesday, this Wednesday at 7. Hope to see you there if you're able to come. So we want to rejoice in God's covenant blessings, believe His covenant promises and believe that God can do the impossible, and then pray according to those covenant promises. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful that you know our need, that there's no way we could save ourselves. And so you intervened and sent a Redeemer, Messiah, Savior, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give you great thanks and great praise. And we do ask, O Lord, that you would give each one here faith to believe. And then also that you would grant each one the gift of repentance, because we need to turn away from our sin, because our sin that sent the Savior to the cross. And so, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us, cleanse us, enable us to hate that sin that sent you to that execution, and then take out that sin and put in us a love for Jesus. And so we pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts, take out our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh that love you and love your law. So, Lord, I pray that we would know and believe and receive and pray according to these covenant promises that you've given. And we will thank you, we will praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen.